Are you blessed and highly flavored? Praise God. God is good all the time. Amen. What a season and time we are in. Thank you, Jesus. Book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my what? Commandments, my commands. You know, everything God requires is a command. Everything he speaks is a command. It's not an if, but it's a command. Do it. And when you turn to your neighbor and say, do it. Just do it. And then he says, if you keep my commands, if you love me and keep my commands, now, there's a reward for that. He said he will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you when? Forever. The Spirit of truth, known as the Holy Spirit, because it neither sees, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot what? Receive. The world can't receive the Holy Spirit. No man comes to the Father unless he's drawn. See, God chose you. You didn't choose him. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that. Wait a minute, Dad. You chose me. I accepted the invitation. Amen? You know, God loves to be challenged in certain areas. Not only plays the greatest game called hide and seek. Amen? He loves that game. He hides and you seek. But he loves to be challenged. And in that challenge, it's not anything disrespectful. It's with honor. Lord, you said. He used to love when David reminded him of what he promised. He wants to hear what he said from me and you. Lord, you said. It is. That's why even Jesus, when he came, what did he say? It is written. It was the same thing he was doing. He was saying, Lord, you said. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. He said, he'll ask the Father if you keep his commands, if you stand on his word, and he'll pray that he'll send you another helper that will abide with you forever. He's known as the Spirit of truth, not deception, not lies. Not compromise, truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor they know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So no, he was explaining, look at, I'm the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in a body. So when I leave, I'm going to send you my spirit. And you're going to do what I did. But the number one thing that he had was a relationship with the Father. Now we're talking about the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. The first one of the things that the Holy Spirit brings you to is a reality of a relationship with the Father. And you can't have a father unless you're a son or a daughter. Does everybody understand that? This is not about just you and God. It's you and Dad. Relationship. That's the one function, which there are many functions, the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. Relationship, Father. Why? Because that releases to you something very important, your identity. See, now you're identifying yourself off planet. Not on planet anymore. You're no longer identifying yourself with a worldly family. You're identifying yourself with an eternal family. Oh my God, it is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. Everything that was associated with your earthly family and earthly friends and everything earthly is now washed away. There's a new life. And in this new life, it's connected with eternal life. And God begins to send and place us in places where our eternal beings are. We're no longer temporary, we're eternal. And in the inner working of the Holy Spirit, he begins to reflect off of each and every one of us truth. Somebody has a truth that you might not know that you grab hold of. See, truth begins to intertwine, interconnect with one another. And what is in truth will be rejected by the Spirit. That's where he quickens you. He says yes or no. The inner working of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he said that he will dwell with us and will be in us. And he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That is so awesome. This is called the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. Now go to John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, you can't interpret them now. So one of the things about the working of the holy inner whole, the inner workings of the Holy Spirit is to begin to interpret what the Spirit is saying. The way the Spirit interprets for me and you is to convert our soul. As he begins to convert our soul with the Word of God, amen. Now you can be so filled with the Spirit of God that your spirit has dominion over your soul and your flesh. That's what happened to me after my encounter with the Lord for about 2 months. Because I didn't know the Word. I didn't want to read the Word. I didn't want to know anything with the Word. I had a personal relationship with the presence of God Almighty. Every day he spoke to me. I went to bed when he told me to go to bed. I woke up when he told me to wake up. I spent multiple hours with him every single day. And he kept trying to get me to read the Word. And I said, no. I don't want to be a hypocrite like everyone else that was walking around with a Bible, but they were hypocrites. And then he finally convinced me. But in that period of time, my spirit, there was only one voice in me, which was his. I didn't hear another voice. This was going on for about 2 months. I didn't hear any other voice, nothing. Somebody could ask me, my wife would ask me many times, what's the Spirit saying? Man, right immediately I tell her what the Spirit is saying. He'd send us here, go there, go whatever. Even when we got remarried and went on our honeymoon, Holy Spirit brought us to a honeymoon suite. He brought us everywhere we needed to go. There was no assumption, no making appointments, got in the car and left, and here we go. His Spirit spoke, boom, 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 wherever we went. So there is that place where you can be so filled with the Spirit of God that your soul has no effect over you. Your flesh has no effect over you. Your feelings have no effect over you. And the world has no effect over you. That's all you want to do is constantly contact and stay in communication. I knew that when I was walking, I had legions of angels around me. I used to walk at night with my dog, and I knew the angels were all around me. I told them it was unfair. I had to open the door and they could walk through. I said, you know, this is unfair. They protected me. They used to visit. All kinds of things happened. See, because in that arena, the inner working of the Holy Spirit is to bring vision. He begins to change your imagination from the carnal worldly imagination that's been corrupted with lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And he begins to utilize that imagination as a window. A window like a movie projector window is vision of the unseen to become seen. So that when he would speak to you, he'd now speak to you, he could speak to you more than just a word. He could speak to you in a picture that's worth 1,000 words. Oh, this is the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to know this is all from the Spirit. Has everybody got this? He's revealing his desire for us in such a way that we become closer and closer and closer. And that the reality of who He is and who we are in Him becomes more real than what we see. No matter where I was, if I was leaning against a tree or whatever, everything in my mind, everything to me was temporary. I'd look at a chair and go, "You're temporary. Tree, you're temporary. Everything's temporary around me. Everything was temporary. But me, I'm not temporary. He's not temporary. The Spirit of God's not temporary. Dad's not temporary. We're all eternal. But everything else was temporary. That's not constantly stayed with me all the time. And it still does. When things get frustrated around me, it's like, "You're not temporary anyways, man." That's why he said, all things work to the good. Amen? Because everything is temporary. Oh, hallelujah. Did we do 16 yet? Verse 12. Praise God. Let me tell you, I don't know if I can tell you. Okay. Verse 12. John 16:12. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." In other words, you can't interpret them. Amen? "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." This is the inner working of the Holy Spirit. So, when we're filled with the Spirit, we're filled with the Word, and our mind, the place of storage is filled with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has something to work with. You know, even when I was not saved and a heathen out there, I knew the Ten Commandments. Boy, He used to attack me with them all the time. "God, you shouldn't do this. God, you shall not do this. You shall not do that. You shall not." It was either the Holy Spirit or one of the nuns or the priests, one of them, you know. Hallelujah. But they were hypocrites. While they smoked and drank and everything else, trying to tell me what I should do and shouldn't do. It's like when I finally went to a drug program. I got finally convinced to check into a drug program when I was out there messed up. And I went in there and walked in there. Everybody's smoking. And the guy up there is smoking like crazy, drawing on the board, trying to tell me what addiction is. Even though I was an addict, I knew better than that. I said, "Man, this ain't for me." And they said, "Where are you going?" I said, "You're trying to tell me how to get free from addiction, and you're addicted. I'm out of here." This was in Pennsylvania or somewhere. They didn't even help me carry my suitcases out of there. It was cold. Hallelujah. "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, He's going to guide you to all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." Wow. So then why do we do so many stupid things? Because we ain't hearing. Hello? Why do people marry the wrong person? Because they ain't hearing. Why do they purchase the wrong things? Because they're not hearing. Hello? That's why we need to be in fellowship with polite believers. Because what you don't hear, somebody else will. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 14. "He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you." That's promises, isn't it? "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Now, to me, this is just amazing. It's amazing. See, when somebody messes with you, they ain't messing with you. They're messing with Him. But see, you've got to know these things. You can't just freak out. You got to know these things. Because knowing these things keeps you in the place of faith. Faith is a what? Shield. Faith is a what? Shield. If your faith ain't activated, you ain't shield. It's called the shield of what? Faith. That's part of the full armor of God. Oh, hallelujah. Inner workings of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Luke 4. All right, here's some of the more workings of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that there's the gifts of the Spirit and, you know, and all kinds of wonderful things that are inner workings of the Holy Spirit. But here's something very powerful that the Spirit wants to bring us to. In verse 1, let's speak it together. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the what? Wilderness. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. So, listen, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days. Man, we could complain for 10 minutes of being tempted by the devil. Jesus was there 40 days, 40 nights, didn't eat or drink. Oh, this is the inner working of the Holy Spirit. And in those days, he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. I bet. And the devil said to him, if you are the son or daughter of God Almighty, command these stones to become bread. In other words, he was tempting him with food. But Jesus answered and said to him, it is written. In other words, it's been spoken. I'm going to speak what has been written. I'm going to speak what I hear. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Now, this is the first thing. I mean, there's the other temptations and so, but this is the powerful one. Man cannot live by worldly words. He must live by eternal words. And the Holy Spirit will bring these to remembrance for me and you. Now, again, what did the Holy Spirit do? He led him into a battle. He led him into a place to be tempted. Number one, in reality, to know that he had dominion and power over the enemy. Number two, to dismantle anything that he might have picked up during those periods of times for those 30 years of worldliness. You know, he was cuddled by mom and dad and brothers and sisters and so forth. Amen. Remember, afterwards, he walked around after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, look at my, and they were saying, oh, your mother and father and your brothers and sisters are out there. He says, let me tell you, they're not my brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, but only those who do the will of God. Everything changed. When he went to do the first miracle, turning water into wine, and mom came up and said, you know, Jesus, we really need help here. He says, what do you want from me? It's not my time yet. And she gave him the mom look, you know. And he said, all right, I guess maybe it is time. And when he agreed, she told everybody, do whatever he asks you to do. Just do it. And he told them to go fill up the things with water, to pots with water and so forth. And he turned water into wine. It was the moment of transition. Because he didn't want people to know who he was yet. But the group that was with him, he was led by the Spirit. Because it was the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is the Father. Because he said, if you see me, you see the Father. That changed that water into wine. And of course, what did they say at the wedding? Man, everybody gets usually give the good stuff first. Everybody gets smashed, and then you know you give the bad stuff last. But you give the good stuff last. Representation there would be the end. The things that was being poured out of the Spirit of God would always be good. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for me and you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time or last days. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. In other words, you've been led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. Why? To bring us to the end of ourselves. That the genuineness of your faith, come on, activate that shield, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Various trials of challenges, mental challenges, physical challenges, spiritual challenges, financial challenges, emotional challenges. These are challenges that we are led into the wilderness to be challenged. Why? To check out how genuine you are. Determine the level of our faith so that we can be committed at all things that he has for us and trust in him. He wants us to be committed. Amen? He wants us to reach a level of our faith that we're constantly committed, unwavering, no matter what. Inner workings of the Holy Spirit. That is the I've got to share with you this so that you understand that we're in trials every single day. If you're getting out of one, you're entering another. So there's no sense of grumbling, complaining. It ain't going to get you through any faster. And it ain't going to get you through, and it ain't going to stop you from getting through. Although it could slow it down, you know what I'm saying? You keep grumbling and complaining, then look what happened to them in the wilderness. The Israelites. Amen? So yes, we're either going into a trial or we're coming out of one. Why? Because it's the inner working of the Holy Spirit. This is what it's about. It's amazing to me how many injuries I am self-inflicted with. Nobody needs to do nothing to me. I do it myself. Bumping the stuff, hit my hammer here, there, bam, whatever. You know, whatever it is. I mean, you know. And we bring stuff on ourselves besides all the other stuff that we have to put up with. Amen? But things sometimes get so stupid and so bad that you have to laugh. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not what? Lose heart. Don't lose heart in that trial. Remember, every trial is to bring you to a greater position in Christ. Every temptation, the purpose of temptations from the enemy is to expose your contaminations, your enemy. Amen? so that you can remove them. Sometimes we even get sick to expose something from getting worse. Because if it wasn't taken care of then, down the road it'd be worse. How many times have people gone to a doctor for something simple and found out, oh my God, there's something worse? But I'm going to tell you that the Holy Spirit will always tell you things to come. Amen? See, that's why it's vitally important that we don't run to doctors. We run to Jesus. Now, if Jesus tells you go to a doctor, then you go to a doctor. Amen? Believe me, I've stretched out. I've been healed multiple times. And I was expecting a healing one time. And the Lord said to me, what are you doing? I told you to go to the hospital. I said, I'm waiting for you to heal me. He said, you'll die. I think, what do you mean? You're not going to heal me? It's like, I was almost like a sense of, don't be so spoiled. Get up your butt and go to the hospital. And my wife brought me to the hospital and said, if they didn't bring me in, I would have been dead within 2 hours. Now, I don't know if the Lord was, you know, going to, whatever. But I was goofy, tremendous pain, dehydrated, I don't know what, I was sick as a dog, man. I don't know how dogs get sick, but anyways, I was very sick. And they told me that if I wasn't brought to the hospital, I'd have been dead in 2 hours. Now, here's the powerful thing was, the Lord healed me after I went to the hospital. So it was the obedience of going to the hospital. The next morning, now I was out eating home fries and eggs and everything else. I was fine. But it was a matter of going to the hospital. Amen. It was being obedient. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Who are what? Perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this what? Treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God, or the power may be of God and not of what? Us. See, this is where that trial comes, that challenge. A trial is a challenge. Everyone say it. A trial is a challenge. It is a challenge to prove God's word. It is a challenge to prove God's power. The challenge to bring the glory to the Lord. Amen. Verse 8, we are what? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not what? In despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death. Hello. This is the inner working of the Holy Spirit. For Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore do what? Speak. knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things that are for your sakes, all things are for your sakes, all things are for your sakes, that the plan, the grace of God, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So your trials, your challenges, your afflictions are opportunities to bring glory to God. Even your mistakes. Amen? So death to self is working in us, no matter what it is. His purpose is in the inner working of the Holy Spirit is so that we become trophies for God's glory. In Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Verse 15, read it with me. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the what? The death of his saints. In other words, the end of themselves. That is precious to God. This is the inner working of the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring you to the end of you whether you like it or not. Oh, Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. You know, we pay our vows when we come and worship together. Now in the presence of all of his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's precious to him. Look what he did to Jesus. He allowed him to be smitten for us. To him it was precious. 1 Corinthians 10:12, please. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Hallelujah. No temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to what? To what? Bear. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread of one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe, Israel, after the flesh, are not those who eat the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Again, the inner working of the Holy Spirit will quicken you. Especially about demons. Very quickly about demons. I went into the hospital one time to pray for an individual. And the Lord said to me, no, don't pray. Stand at the end of the bed. And I stood at the end of the bed. And immediately this person walked in. And this person had this like charm. Almost like a cane with something on it. And every time she touched the person that was in the hospital bed, this person cried out, oh! I'm thinking, Lord, what's up? And I said, and I was going to move her away. I said, don't touch her. I'm getting ready to pray for her. Don't touch her. And the Lord said, no, fold your hands. So I folded my arms. And I stood at the end of this hospital bed. And the woman touched her again. And the woman screamed again. Oh! what's up? He said, she's a cup of demons. And when he said that, he opened my eyes, and every time she moved her hands, I saw a serpent. And that serpent would bite that woman laying in that bed, hospital bed. Every time she would move her hand, then I saw her like a cup of serpents. And she would bite that woman. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I wanted you to see this. Because there are many people who are a cup of demons. And they carry many serpents in them. Anyways, I prayed for the woman. But I don't know what the whole circumstance was. I just asked God to bring healing. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, go ahead, pray for her. But it was like, I'm bringing her home. Because she's going to go right back into what she was involved in. And I think she was involved in all kinds of witchcraft and all kinds of stuff, you know. In fact, when she died, they told me that a big green glob came up on her chest. I don't know what it was. I didn't ask any questions. I just said, okay, you know. My point was to see the cup of demons, the witchcraft. See what happens in the spirit realm. Romans 6, 5. You know, God does surprise you, though, sometimes when things, with prayers that are answered, you know. One time I went in and prayed for a guy. He had tumors in his head. He was supposed to go into surgery the next day. I just prayed for him. I didn't feel nothing. Just prayed for him, commanded those tumors to wither and die. He had three tumors in his brain. And I saw him about a week later at a meeting, and he had this big black hat on. I was expecting this big bandage underneath and whatever. I'm thinking, what the heck, it's a week later. What's he doing out in the hospital already? And so he was giving testimony. He said, I came in and prayed for him, and they went to do the x-rays the next day, and all the tumors were gone. I said, well, I didn't feel nothing. A prayer of faith. Amen. Remember, it's not us, it's Him. We're just the vessel. We carry God's word, we carry His presence. There's times when I prayed for people, man, I didn't feel nothing. Then there's times when I do. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His what? Resurrection. This is the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin may be done away with. I mean, come on, think about that. That the body of sin may be what? Done away with. That we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. There we go again. He who has what? Died. Why? Because Dad delights in the death of the saints. This is the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? Dead. Indeed, to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should what? Obey it in its lust or desires. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but you are under grace. You are under God's plan to overcome. So, you know, to really kind of sum this up, the Holy Spirit's out to kill us. Hallelujah. I mean, He succeeded with Jesus, didn't He? And He rose from the dead. So He's out to kill us, bring an end to us so that Christ can live. Amen? James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy as you die. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or challenges, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience and protection. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, one of the areas of death is waiting. Think about that. Waiting. 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 What are you doing? I'm waiting. What do you wait? I'm waiting on God. I'm dying. See, that's a part of that process. See, the Holy Spirit may tell you something, but he didn't tell you now. And he says, wait. There's many things he's been telling me, man. He says, wait. Oh, man, I said, you're killing me. He said, yes. Yes. Oh. That's the inner working of the Holy Spirit, huh? You're killing me. Yes. Hallelujah. If any of you, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind. But let not that man or person suppose that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Hello. Unstable in all of his ways. You ask God to do something, right? So if you're on a ship that's moving back and forth, amen, and he gives you something, you know what's going to happen? It's going to roll. It's unstable. Does everybody understand that? He's going to give something that's solid, that doesn't move. So if you're still wavering in your walk, in your faith, grumbling, complaining, whatever, anxious, fear, this, that, man, he ain't going to release it because he knows it's going to go overboard. It's not going to work. It won't be held on to. See, people have a hard time holding on to promises of God now. That's why he's checking everyone. And he loves to be challenged. Well, Lord, you said. Amen. Lord, you said. He loves to be challenged in that way. And it doesn't mean he's going to answer you right away just because you said. Amen. It will come, though. Sometimes unexpectedly, sometimes suddenly, sometimes in the strangest way. I've had prayer answered 15 years later. But, oh, man. Why couldn't you release this 15 years ago? Because you weren't dead yet. The more you die, the more I give. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's in what? A new creation. You can't be a new creation unless the old one's dead. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why haven't they all passed away? Because they're still alive. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Psalm 40 and verse 1. I waited. Say it again. I waited. I died patiently. before the Lord. And he inclined to me. And he heard my cry. Why did he hear his cry? Because he waited patiently. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a what? Rock, solid ground. And established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in here. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. You know, your names are written in the book. To do what? I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. Remember now, the law is within you when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit in us will guide us. Why? Because it's the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Revelation 3, verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the inner working of the Holy Spirit is to prevent us from being lukewarm and cold, to keep us hot. Amen? Why? Because lukewarm and cold is compromise and rebellious. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be honored. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart will what? Reveal himself. A man's heart will reveal himself. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The refining pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him. In other words, what is in will express out. Somebody get it? What's in you will be revealed out of you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit won't allow it. The inner working in the Holy Spirit is always going to expose us. If we're not willing to expose us, he'll expose us. You can fake it for so long, but eventually you ain't going to make it. It'll be exposed. And I'm going to close at Matthew 7, 13. Entering by the narrow gate. It's the press. Squeeze. For For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. See, it didn't say easy, it said difficult. Amen? Difficult are challenges, aren't they? Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Few who find it. Many are called, few are chosen. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into hell or the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Why? Because what is in will always be expressed. We are fruit inspectors. Amen? We're to check our own fruit and check people's fruit. You know how they speak. One of the areas is, you know, your heart is the core of all desire. What's their desires? You know people by their desires. What do they talk about all the time? They talk about themselves? Well, that's fruitless. Amen? It's not what about a man does, it's what God does. No matter what's going on. You know, every time I run into people, like, oh, man, you busy? What's that got to do with anything? I say, how you doing? Oh, I'm busy. Okay, that's not what I asked. I said, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. What's that got to do? How are you doing? That tells me, that alone just tells me something. I'm busy. Well, where's the fruit of being busy? It's called anxious. Amen? So in this, we'll know them by their fruit. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing with being busy in your business and this and that, whatever. But some people just want to be busy. You know, did you ever get around someone that says that, they're always telling me, man, if I'm not busy, I'll go back using. Well, you're addicted still. You're not free. You're in management. See, freedom is free. You don't have to be busy to avoid stupidity. You know, you don't have to be busy. You just have to let the inner workings of the Holy Spirit guide you and teach you. He is our master teacher. That's what the anointing does. It teaches us. He loves to be with us. He loves to speak to us. He loves to speak to us in dreams and visions. He loves it. He loves to glorify Jesus in our life. And he loves to kill you. So welcome to the house of death. And it's a good day to die, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we give you all glory and honor and praise. I pray for each and every one in this room today, Lord, that they would have the joy of the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Spirit, and that there be such a close relationship and a true reality of who you are and who you are in us and who we are in you. And, Lord, that no matter what we go through, that we will maintain peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.